2 weeks ago, the Republican-majority North Carolina state legislature fast-tracked a law allowing a vote on an anti-marriage equality constitutional amendment in the May 2012 primary elections. By not allowing public comment on the initiative, the lawmakers were able to go from introduction to passage within 24 hours. I know it doesn't sound a lot like democracy, but that's what happened. I don't know. Is this genuine, if misguided, concern for traditional family values? Is it another attempt to leverage a polarizing social issue to activate conservative voter turnout? Look, folks, same-gender marriage is already illegal in North Carolina now. A recent survey from Public Policy Polling shows strong opposition to same-gender marriage among North Carolinians, but the same survey reveals that a significant majority opposes enshrining a ban in the state constitution. Interestingly, this majority is found even among Republican voters. So the state is in for a long season of PR and propaganda. How have people of faith been involved to the degree that the timing of this action allowed in the process? Well, North Carolina certainly has its share of conservative evangelical Christians who've spoken out in support of these developments and will certainly be active as the day for voting nears. But today, I want to turn to someone who has made headlines by taking action in opposition to the legislature's moves. He is the pastor of the Metropolitan Community Church in Winston-Salem, part of a denomination that specifically welcomes LGBT persons, Reverend Ron LaRocque. And Reverend LaRocque, on September 11, announced a fast around this very issue. Pastor LaRocque, with great appreciation and admiration, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Could you talk about what moved you to respond in such an intensely personal way to the state legislature's actions starting before the vote, as I understand it? What's happened, and where are you now?
Welton, as many people can understand, I'm sure, when one chooses to enter into a prayerful fast or any prayerful act, it's really rather difficult to pinpoint exactly the motivation for that. What I can tell you is that I felt spiritually moved to enter this fast. Mm-hmm. The idea first popped into my head probably about 2 weeks before the fast began, and I prayed on it, and the more I prayed on it, the more that I knew this was the right thing to do as a prayerful act of justice. After making the decision to fast, it then occurred to me that this private prayerful act could also be turned into a powerful public witness, and I then chose to make others aware of the fast.
So your action is, in addition to what its benefits for you are, a means for raising public awareness, and because of that, do you see that as having the potential to have a direct spiritual impact on this debate that's going to go on?
I believe that this debate, for the most part, really is a direct spiritual impact, regardless of the side of the debate that you're on. Although it's a civil matter, the religious rhetoric surrounding the civil matter is quite elevated. There was a press conference presented by the Speaker Pro Tem of the House, who was one of the primary sponsors of this bill. The Speaker invited several clergy to speak at the event in favor of the constitutional amendment, and all of them spoke from a very religious standpoint.
Hmm. Well, I think a lot of folks tend to consider North Carolina a conservative state, but in truth, there's a considerable amount of diversity in North Carolina, and the polling indicates, as I said, that a majority of voters oppose the constitutional initiative on this matter. So how extensive is the progressive community, and is there a network of religious leaders that you consider your allies?
Most definitely. The North Carolina Council of Churches is a very progressive organization and has been since its founding. The North Carolina Council of Churches specifically came out against having this amendment placed on the ballot. In Winston-Salem, where I reside and pastor, we have a newly emerging organization known as Interfaith Voice, mm-hmm. which is a collection of congregations which are open and affirming from the Christian, Jewish, and Unitarian Universalist traditions. Mm-hmm. So there is, although we are certainly in the Bible Belt, and although there is certainly a large number of conservative Christians in the state, we, as you note, are a very diverse state, and I believe that the progressive Christian movement is really growing within the state at this point in time.
Well, that's good to hear, and I would agree with you. I, a few months ago, was in North Carolina and visited with a lot of pastors about a lot of subjects, and I found a surprisingly large community interested in this piece, which wasn't in play then, but in legislation like it. Now that the legislature has fast-tracked approval of putting the amendment to a vote in May, what are your options for people who support marriage equality? I mean, what are you trying, just defeat this? What does your strategy look like?
At this point in time, there were so many surprises that came with the way that the legislature handled this particular matter, with the fast tracking, with the actual language chosen, with choosing to put it on the May ballot instead of the November general election ballot, which was a big last-minute surprise for us. A lot of us are just trying to regroup and figure out exactly where we go from here. Mm-hmm. A couple things that we know are very necessary, though. Our voter turnout, having this on the May primary ballot, puts it in a position where our most conservative voters have almost every reason to go to the polls in order to vote for the Republican nominee for president, the Republican nominee for our governor, and the more liberal voters and progressive voters have very little reason to go to the polls to vote in a primary election. So getting voter turnout is going to be absolutely critical for us. And I would ask any of your listeners, Weldon, who know anybody in North Carolina, to give them a call, not just today, but next month and the month after that until we get to May, and make sure that they get to the polls. We are definitely going to be looking at advertising campaigns throughout the state, mm-hmm. Looking at how this is not only a social justice issue, but also just a civil rights issue, mm-hmm. and an economic issue, that having this, if this amendment were to pass, it would be bad business for the state of North Carolina. I don't mean to be crass, but definitely money in order to fund that mm-hmm. advertising campaign is going to be necessary. We know that tons of money is going to be pouring into the state on the other side of this amendment, and we need to be able to balance that out. And finally, I just ask all people of faith to pray for righteous justice in this case.
Your comments about money are not crass. They're smart. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, it may not be in place yet, but is there a mailing address to which our listeners could send support for defeating this legislation and offer other kinds of encouragement? Is there such in place? And if not, will you please give it to us so we can share it as this develops?
Certainly. I can tell you that we have a very well-run state organization, Equality North Carolina. Mm-hmm. They are probably the premier LGBT civil rights organization in the state. That is where I would recommend sending donations and other forms of support, and their website is equalitync.org.
I apologize to you and to our listeners if this sounds like a cynical question, but I'm also concerned in this whole campaign now about collateral damage. I think it's inevitable in that you're going to hear and see pervasive, poisonous, anti-gay rhetoric in advertising and in the public debate. And I have concerns that about what that does to affect members of your congregation, and I have grave concerns about what it does to impressionable youth who may be struggling with their sexual identity.
I don't think that that's in any way cynical. I think that there is that's a very appropriate concern. When somebody's basic need to love and be loved enters the public arena as a debate, it can only have negative effects. A lot of the hate-filled rhetoric surrounding homosexuality in general, same-sex marriage in specific, is particularly venomous. I have a great concern about what it does to the psyches of people who are directly affected, not only members of my congregation, certainly young people who are growing up and just beginning to understand themselves as sexual creatures, but also the people who love them. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, this is also providing a wonderful opportunity for other people of faith who understand that this truly is an unjust amendment to speak out and receive a microphone in a way that we have never had an opportunity to do that in the past. We are able to witness in a state where there is a strong religious conservative movement that not all Christians are against gender and sexual minorities, that is not a blanket understanding of the Christian faith, and that a growing body of believers welcomes them as God created them to be.
My guest is Reverend Ron LaRock, pastor of the Metropolitan Community Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, who began a fast in prayerful opposition to the attack on LGBT families embodied in the state legislature's pushing an anti-marriage equality constitutional amendment vote onto the May primary ballot. Pastor LaRock, you have our respect and our best wishes in this very disappointing and disturbing situation. We'll continue to monitor what's going on in this regard in North Carolina, and we want you to get back to us if you have new reports for us. But we thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.